Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cent. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA.
Look, I said it there a while ago, this place, what to do for people across the country, really, you know, and you talk about the kids, but the support to give families as well and parents.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Right, where are we starting? What is this thing?
A new segment provisionally called Breakfast Buffet.
This is far from Love Island, I was rare.
All of us are going to bring something to the table.
Friends is, I don't know, it's funny. Like
it's funny. One of them was Morning Glory.
Can we come back for seconds?
That was our yogurt and fruit.
Yeah. There is that working theory that reality TV has helped precipitate the fall of civilization as we know it.
And watch a game of football, you can look and go, I want to look like Ronaldo, you know.
I had to kiss someone else in a challenge.
No kink shaming here.
Strictly Come Dancing of Ireland, Dancing with the Stars.
That's what a buffet's for. That's the best part of a buffet.
That's all one seamless conversation, is it?
Yeah, no cuts, no edits. All natural.
Darren Smith, welcome to the show this morning.
Hello, Colm.
And welcome back.
Thank you. There's going to have to be some edits made to that.
We did point that out, didn't we? You and I, in tandem there. And Donnie's still here. Your breakfast buffet debut?
Yeah, innocent bystander, but I'll definitely give my 2 pence worth.
Very exciting. Before we get stuck into it, right, I was looking at that picture there, following from the last piece we did, Paul Murphy. James Skettle in phenomenal shape, isn't he?
Oh, really?
Looking forlorn, but still phenomenal shape. And I was thinking, like, Donnie, you look like you could still play. I know you're playing club. I know you were in Cavender yesterday.
That's right.
But in terms of the inter-county side of things, do you like endeavour, right, to maintain your shape even after retiring from inter-county? Is it like, I know you're playing club, so you want to anyway, but is it like there's an element of kind of vanity to it that you don't want to kind of lose your conditioning and all that? How's the last year gone that way? Like, are you still training very hard?
Honest answer, probably not.
Must be hard. The start of the year now,
I didn't think I was doing any training. I was doing a small bit, and I was only playing a few club league games, stuff like that. And you definitely feel the body not being as tip top as it was. Now, I'm lucky enough that I don't really, like, I'm slight by nature. I don't put on massive weight, but any small bit of extra timber I do put on, I can definitely feel it. But I think now that we're getting into the business end, obviously the club season, you're kind of doing a bit more training and you're just looking after the body a bit more than anything else and trying to get the recovery more than anything else.
Would you be a fry-up guy for the buffet at a hotel?
Depending on how the night before went.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
You know what I mean?
When's the last sober fry-up you've had?
That's a good question. Fry hungover with a can of Coke. You can't beat it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Full fat Coke.
Oh, absolutely.
Suit yourself.
Absolutely.
This is the breakfast buffet, Colin.
It sure is.
Loads to get into.
Yeah.
Absolutely loads to get into. We got an amazing email, actually, after Sarah O'Donovan's show.
Oh, yeah.
From a guy called Fergal Lynch, who introduces the show, introduces the email as, "Hi, Colm, Owen, Arthur, Cavan Rugby Man.
I wonder who that
Keith
is.
Keith and team."
Do you think that's a compliment? I would.
I do, yeah.
I would.
Yeah, he knows a lot about me without knowing
exactly,
my name.
Yeah.
I actually think that's more of a compliment that he gets named in anyway. I fall into the and team.
Yeah, true.
Whereas Keith,
that's only already there, you know.
Just in the abyss of Off The Ball.
Very complimentary of Sarah O'Donovan and her job and the co-hosting duties the last day.
Yeah,
and he basically goes on talking about the swarm turnovers, most popular term on the show.
Sarah coined this.
No, she referenced someone else.
Yeah,
who she learned it from.
Okay,
but the point he wanted to make, he said, was Jude Bellingham was going down the left wing trying to relieve the pressure, and three Argentinian players swarmed him and pushed him over the line. That happened 29 times in the final for Limerick, or once every 2.5 minutes. That's fair work from the Limerick lads, and it's a key point. And it's almost felt like Cahill O'Neill settled on that point when Sarah/Colm asked him, what/where is the fun in the game at the top level? He considered his response and got to the point. It's being in a flow state. But as he was teasing that one out, you can see he also got real enjoyment from tackling, the passing, the turnovers, the swarm. He gets real enjoyment from the work. That's so cool to hear. And that's what I'll be telling my under-15s later at training. You can see the real impact of these games is what goes down into the younger generation.
Did you like training?
I wasn't. Yeah, I love training. I love going for the physical work. I was just running like I'm just horrendous.
There's always a line with the gifted player hates running.
Yeah.
I know we're just talking about Liam Ricardo's there kind of doing everything.
Yeah, there probably is something. I think it's probably, it's very easy to put that as a stick to beat you with as well. But I think I loved putting on the boots. I loved kind of going out onto the pitch. Certain parts of it, like I hate, like obviously the fitness test, like just no matter how fit I could get or how, I was just so bad at them.
Were you doing the bleep test still?
Like
I hated those.
We did, was it the Bangs Bow and there's all the sorts of bloody names. Bronco as well.
We did the Bronco last night.
Oh, right. Well,
yeah. Grant, I didn't think it was as hard.
Oh wow!
Like the bleep test is harder. People like there's always compared.
Yeah,
like which is harder, Bronco or the bleep test? I think the bleep test is definitely harder because the bleep test is how far can you push yourself for as long as possible.
Yeah, there's a
the Bronco. There's it's 1.2 kilometers, so you do 20, 40, 60, 5 times. So try to do that as fast as you can.
Is this from Condra?
No, this is I'm back playing Ga at the ripe old age of 31.
With who?
St. Moore's in Rush. Yeah, they asked me to give him a shout out last night. So there you go. My hip is in bits.
Definitely.
That's the one thing I'll say.
Full forward?
Full forward, yeah.
There you go.
How'd you know that now?
Just the height and just the stature, yeah. Just
could you go around diagnosing everyone's position?
I could end up in something if you think about doing that.
I definitely don't fall into the category of a nippy one.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, that took off. I was at a wedding there, people coming up to me about that conversation.
Yeah. Did you like warm ups?
I think. They're a cod.
Yeah.
That's great. Go on. Elaborate
you look at the World Cup final and the lads, they're just standing there doing a rondo, scratching themselves.
Yeah.
And before, like you'll see it on Sunday, but before every game, and like we play games and we obviously warm up the same time as your team, and it's like who can be the loudest and who can go the most intense. And you're thinking to yourself, I'll pull a hamstring here or I'll be out of breath or I'll get a knock here that I don't need. I don't know how many times I've seen teammates get injured in warm-ups because we're doing a 5v5 and it's 100 mile an hour. And like some players like it, but like for me, it's everyone to their own. And some people want to go absolutely flat out in the warm-up and I'm cool with that. But some people want to do their own thing and be comfortable in their own thing. I'm very much comfortable knowing what I get out of the warm-up. So I just think sometimes, like how much of the emphasis put on warm-ups, I think is mad. I absolutely understand the activation and the band work. I think that's huge. But sometimes I think warm-ups are just so over the top.
Would this be kind of felt across the board?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who likes a warm-up.
Really? I don't
know. Genuinely, you go out onto a pitch and you're not warm, you're just getting onto the pitch, you want to just get through it and you're just, in the warm-up, my head is, okay, what's going to be our first thing we're going to be doing?
Yeah.
You know, and so if we're training as well.
In your ideal world, you would have got in, tied your boots 3 times and played.
Well, now that's... I definitely would like to have a few kicks and stuff like that, I'm just talking in terms of maybe it's the coaching aspect of it where coaches are roaring and shouting and it's
a bit intense. Like.
It's a bit intense, yeah. I think
needlessly so.
There's, there's 26 on the squad, 26 different fellas are not going to want to be doing the same thing and go as intense as you want, and I'd like to think you're not going to be getting a hard time for going maybe not as intense as the fella next to you because you warm up differently. Bodies are different.
Yeah, when you think about it, like a warm up, like the key thing you're trying to do is activate your muscles for what they're supposed to be doing. As opposed, like, yes, you're going to be sprinting, but the key moment of that, like a warm up, to prevent injury. Key thing of that is like the instant movement. Yeah. So like that's where the activations, as you're saying, comes in, like the springing your step, doing the
sprinting. Sprinting is really important.
Like
in the warm up.
This short, quick sprints, but this whole crack of going flat out battering each other
and you're on your hunkers, you can't get your second wind.
Yeah.
But I think it's
you
just
go past your second win sometimes.
Yeah, and I think we do it because we saw one team doing it before and now we all do it. And we feel like they'll have one over us if we don't do what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's typical GAA.
I often found just at like an amateur level that I was more worried about the warm up than the game itself. Like I'd nearly be more anxious about the warm up and the shouting and the screaming and the lads going 100%.
Yeah.
I always find it just unnecessary. That's interesting though.
Did you ever get injured in the warm up?
I did, yeah. I think it was in a league match 7 or 8 years ago.
That's infuriating, I'd say.
Oh, I was up the walls.
Do you know what happened? Do you remember what happened?
Yeah, I was, to be honest with you, it was a contact. It wasn't a pulled muscle, so, but I was still up the walls because I got myself in a situation where I think I went 100 miles an hour for a ball where I absolutely did not need to go. And I got a dead leg, which is a nightmare to get dead legs are just,
So when Dara originally asked you that question, does it stem from that? Your opinion on warm-ups in general because you got injured?
Don't know. I watch a lot of soccer. I'm huge into the soccer and I just look at them and they're the pros and they're doing what they need to do and they're not going as intense as what we do, and that's maybe is ingrained in my head. Like they're playing for 90 minutes, they're professional and they're not absolutely maxing out. But we're maxing out and we're going super intense.
I know club level's slightly different to county level, but I always felt as a sub, the warm-up was more important for me than it was for the starting players because it was an opportunity to show the management team that if called upon, you're ready and you're into the game. Yeah. You're not throwing a strap because you're on the bench. Mm. As opposed to like the starting team, they're in the starting team. They don't need to.
Starting team remind themselves in the warm-up to an extent.
Yeah.
You know, I saw Rondo during the week with Messi and Otamendi. Otamendi was going full-blooded and Messi was like, I'm not going for it. He pulled straight out of it.
Yeah.
That was in training, but obviously with, you know.
How much soccer did you play when you were inter-county?
Inter-county, zero. Yeah.
No five-a-sides or anything like that? Like no mess rounds?
Maybe at Christmas time when I'm home, we'd play a bit of a seven or eight-a-side in the Ash, but very little. But it's just, I love watching it. I could sit there watching it all day and I'd watch any sort of match.
Would you be a good soccer player?
I'm okay. I would have played a lot, maybe centre half, left back. Yeah.
I was going to say left back. I was going to diagnose you the same way as you did me.
There was a lot, like Boyle is quite big for soccer. Like it's very good soccer team. So the standard would have been quite decent. But I just love I don't think people realise, and this is what annoys me about certain people, like say, it's such a boring sport to watch, like the skill level required.
Yeah.
And you can only realise that when you're at the game, when the pitch is so small and they're literally touching the ball in the phone box. It's magic.
I didn't realise yourself and Chris O'Dowd are from the same place.
That's right.
Do you know the O'Dowds?
We do. He comes home a lot, to be fair to him. He comes home regularly at Christmas time and he's still treated as a Boyle man.
Ah,
so
brilliant.
Funny, we were in a bar about 10 years ago and he was in having a bit of crack and the owner said to him, I threw you out when you were 18 and just because you're in Hollywood, I'll still throw you out. but he's great and every time, any opportunity he gets, he always mentions Boyle or he always promotes
Boyle. Fine goalkeeper, of course.
Class goalkeeper.
Played in that recent charity match at Wembley. Did you see him in an unbelievable save?
Yeah, he did,
Moon Boy, that show is based on him growing up.
Yeah, and it was filmed in Boyle. It was unbelievable a few weeks in Boyle where it was just, you know, Steve Coogan was there. It was class. Yeah.
Mayo man, he's Mayo, isn't he? His background, Steve
Coogan.
I'm
not sure now, but he was really cool. Yeah.
Right, well, we kick into my one. This is one we teased earlier on in the week and one that I put some work into, so we'll talk about it. Topic I'm throwing in is the best type of setup for watching sports in a pub.
Very important.
This is very important. Mm. All right, so I'm open to suggestions here, but here's my list. Mm-hmm. So crucially, and maybe counterproductively, has to be not a sports bar.
Mm.
Mm. Sports bars are not good sports watching pubs.
Can you give a...
They're never comfortable. The pints are never good, and they're not conducive to good crack and conversation.
Ooh.
There's too many screens, there's too much going on, and you can't settle in the same way. Not a gastropub either. You can't have somewhere that it's like the food's more important than what else is happening. Right? It should be somewhere that keeps the curtains open for most of the day, so when it's bright outside, but when the match comes on, they are willing to close those curtains so you can get a better view of the game. On tap, you've got Guinness, Tennent's, Smithwick's.
Tennent's?
And whatever else you like in terms of a lager also serves a nice cider option for the summer months or the the hangover heads earlier on the day. Yeah. In the summer, it should have an outdoor area that can show the games as well. But it's not mainly an outdoor pub. It's mainly an indoor pub, but it does have the option for when it gets really warm. This is now a setup of the pub, and I realise that a lot of pubs don't have the option to change this. But it can't be a narrow pub, right? It needs to be as wide as it is long. Because if it's a long pub that's narrow, you could be ending up at the back and they might not have a TV back there and you're miles away from the game. Can't see it. And there's not enough space for standing if you want to stand, if you have to stand. Then we have the sort of ambience. Music on until the game starts, but absolutely categorically turns off and the TV gets turned on and the speakers.
What level is the music?
Low. It's not a music pub. Like, you have the odd song comes on.
Does the tune itself need to be good, or the tunes, or just the fact that it's music at all?
Just can't be dead silent. You don't like a dead silent pub when you walk into it. Then you've got a mix of high stool and low table options. And more of a low table option, so that you can gather the lads around and then you can maybe pull two or three of the tables together and the whole group can get involved. But you have the high table options as well. So if you don't get the low table, yeah, if you're in late, you can still exceed the game. I think that's a key one. TV behind the bar, big one in the corner, and the main big screen for the match. If it serves food, it should serve food at some stage, but not during the game. You should be able to have that option. If you come in for the 12 o'clock kickoff...
Very specific.
This is very picky. This is very picky.
If you come in for the 12 o'clock kickoffs, you should be, in theory, able to stay until after the 5:30 kickoff, because you're able to get food in between. Burger and chips, maybe a curry sauce as well to go with it.
It's a fine line. So not a gastro pub, but
does serve food.
Like, and burgers, like, yeah, actual food.
Actual food, yeah.
This right. Filtered search won't bring many returns.
No.
You can order at the bar, but they serve to your table, and potential for you to stick up your hand and just be like, and they know the bartender will just bring down their hand. In terms of the clientele, we have a few our lads up at the bar. They don't really care, but they've got the worst opinions of all time. And it should be the place that your local football team is sponsored by them, so they come in after the game. So at around 2 o'clock, you get a cohort of people coming in for the soup and sandwiches. Somewhere that will stick your phone on charge behind the bar as the day goes on, if you're stuck. Somewhere that will give you a deck of cards for after the action has wrapped up. And absolutely not essential, and only if you actually enjoy this type of thing. If it has a bookie next door.
Oh, that's class.
It makes for an interesting day if you're into that kind of thing.
And is this the greatest advertisement for a pub you're about to reveal? Because if it was all that, check out.
This is my pub. That's the pub I would build. It is a mixture of all the different pubs that I've watched sports in that I
the
think
best element.
Huge changes.
So as far as you know, it doesn't exist.
As far as I know. But if anybody has any suggestions of a pub that matches, I'd say 80% of that description, I'd be there.
Donny, where'd you fall on this?
I think watching a match in a pub, I think if you have a vested interest, like if it's a team you support or it's something that you really want to watch, I think watching in a pub is tough. I think as well, the people that you're watching the game with is, I think that's the number one thing for me, because nothing worse sitting in a bar or sitting in a public place and you're hearing opinions about a game and someone's opinion that you know that they know nothing about the sport. Now, I know that sounds a bit of an asshole, but like if I'm hearing an opinion on somebody and I know they know something about the sport, I'm like, oh my God, how am I listening to this? I think I'm with you on the screens thing. That I think the big flat, massive flat screens, I think they're the worst thing ever in the world to watch a match. And I think there's one, I'm not going to name the pubs in Dublin, but there's a couple of ones that spring to mind straight away, a certain street. but I'd like to watch the match in a snug, I think, with a screen. I think
that's
just
a great chat, yeah.
I think it has to be in your own world, no outside distractions, no outside opinions. I don't want to hear anyone else's opinion. My opinion's right, nobody else's. That's the way I'm going about it, with a pint of Guinness in front of me and maybe the potato bag open, ripped open in half.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because an absolute crucial comment came in from Sean Hackett here. What about the crisps and a Manhattan for me?
Oh, good shout.
Yeah. A pub that serves Manhattan crisps is a good pub. That is a good marker of a good pint of Guinness, I feel.
Why'd you send in this, Dara?
Can I add one condition to your list there? Has to be a pub that people can't book tables at.
100%.
I feel so strongly that that is a joke. The people can book tables the night of a match in a pub. Great. I walked into a pub, love this certain pub, won't name it because I don't want to be booked a certain way when I walk in there. But wasn't a table to be found an hour before the World Cup final because they're all booked
up. Is it in Dublin City Centre, this pub?
No, just outside it. Yeah.
I had something.
It's in Stony Batter.
Also probably a key reason why I don't want it to be a pub that's like known for food. Because people book food to go out.
Yeah,
we'll go to the pub. We don't want to go to a rest. We'll go to a pub. We'll book a table. Booking a table in a pub, disgraceful behaviour.
It's awful.
From the people and the pub for allowing that.
I ended up leaving at halftime. This was the World Cup final. So I had a bit of time to walk home with the halftime show, but I've never done that before.
I was in a pub in Galway. I was going to a stag and I arrived a bit early and I just arrived in Air Square. I can't remember the name of the pub, but there was sport on. It was a Friday afternoon and it was just me, sport and a pint of Guinness. And I didn't want to go to the stag. It was just magic.
Is your best pub experience on your own?
I know. Geez, no. I think the day two after a match, you can't beat it. It's just the team and the doors are closed and you're down the back and doing what you want. But I sound like I'm a hermit here. Like going with a couple of mates is great, but I think you have to pick and choose who you're going with, especially when it comes to sport. Like I go and socialise with anybody, but when it comes to a sport that you're passionate about.
Are you an airport pint guy? Are you an airport pint guy?
I am, but not a Guinness.
Oh yeah.
I think it'll be...
I can see up at the bar at an airport, arms folded looking at the screen.
Shaking my head at
the
stage.
And then someone tries to talk to you and you're just like, yeah.
As my students would say, giving them the death stare.
I don't think I've ever finished an airport pint. Always in a rush after.
The problem is you just have to, as soon as you go onto the plane, then you can't get up and you burst into go.
And you're staring
at that seatbelt sign. And of course, there's like the one flight in the day that has massive turbulence and you can't get up. That's horrible. I have several times contemplated pissing myself on a plane. Like, how bad is this really? I'm wearing dark pants. Who's really going to care? Yeah. It's more embarrassing for them, really. Yeah. They're not going to say it.
And you know where the smell is. They don't know where it's coming from.
I'll never see them again.
That'll be the new intro. I've got my line.
I really like this topic of conversation. I think a lot of people out there feel strongly about it.
Yes.
I really like a carpeted pub, even though it's kind of horrible in many ways. I actually kind of like something horrible about a pub, right? I love London pubs specifically. I don't know why.
That's a very controversial opinion.
I don't know why. I never get any consistency in what's on draft because it's all different, all owned by different breweries, right? But there's something about the carpeted London pubs, old school London pubs, right? The ceiling as well is always like a whiny red, burgundy, mad colour. Moody-looking pub, right?
That's a great description, yeah.
My favourite experience is you go for a pint with one friend at about 1 p.m. We'll stop in here, will we? And you're there till darkness.
Unbelievable.
And you've accumulated people.
You just made me smile.
Will I get on to Tony? Is he around? I don't know if he's running. It's a Wednesday morning. Yeah, I'll try him anyway. And then he was like, no, I can't. Well, sorry, I can't. And then you get back to me 20 minutes later. I haven't got back to you. You've got back to me. Fuck it, I'll join you. Yeah, go on. And then you come, and then we get someone else, and then we get someone else, and then we watch the match.
That is a bit of crack.
That is my happy place.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not planned, right? We're just gone for a pint. We're not going for long, like.
Yeah.
We're just stopping off. But that tastes good. This is good. Conversations.
Gathers momentum.
This is good. Have a good time. We both know we're having a good time. We don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah.
We'll get Donnie involved. Enda will come too, will he? Is Enda off work? I think he finished work early.
I call that the goo. I've got the goo on me now.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
I think we're spoiled in Dublin, I think, with pubs.
Get out.
The pubs we have here are just...
Oh, it's a great city for it.
Do you know what?
I thought Dara was talking about a pub down the road, which is very close to my heart.
Do you know the game that sometimes you play and it's a bit of crack and it often happens in the pub where you just start naming random footballers?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Everyone shows. My mate texted me the other day and it was like a version of this, but it was more enjoyable and I somehow had a more in-depth knowledge of it. He asked me, a friend of mine are meeting up for a pint, we go to a different pub every time, name out a couple of pubs there, and I just started going through the list of pubs in Dublin. And I realised how much time I've spent in pubs in Dublin, but I also, like, I could be an in-depth pub.
You're good for a recommendation, yeah.
Well, it's funny, actually, because someone here says, that comment's still there. Oh, yeah, it's the most recent one, Pewell. You're obviously not married and spending Saturday like that. And when Joanne is describing that as well, I'm like going back to, oh yeah, there was a time in my life when it was like that too.
I hear you.
Yeah. Listen, it was like 10 years ago when I was doing it.
Nostalgic for it, like, you know.
We used to do it on a Sunday, the odd time.
I mean, it's just the dream, isn't it? Can you imagine us doing that these days? Like,
wouldn't think of it.
We're chained to this job.
Yeah, wouldn't think of it.
Dara, you have an entry
to the breakfast buffet.
You do?
I do, yeah, I do.
Sorry, you done with that?
I'm all done, yeah.
Would have been happy for us to take over with that, to be honest.
Lovely conversation.
I might come back to it, yeah.
Hard to follow.
It is hard to follow. So I brought a concept that is becoming increasingly more prevalent in sport, and Irish sport specifically. Mm. It's the concept of unretirements in sport. So players
looking at you, Donnie,
coming out of retirement. Yeah.
Never know.
Pitching my idea to you, yeah. We all watched the World Cup final, yeah, I presume.
We did.
We all saw the pictures of Messi crying after the match. Made me sad. Don't know about yous.
Oh, yeah.
Made me sad. Because I kind of presume this might be the last time we see him in international football.
Yeah, I thought the same. Which
would be a shame.
Yeah.
But then I remembered 10 years ago, he retired.
Yeah.
The three finals in a row with Argentina, mm-hmm, two Copa America final losses on penalties to Chile.
That's right.
And the World Cup final in 2014. Yeah, he hung up the boots for Argentina, but he came back. So I was kind of thinking, have retirements lost their meaning?
Mm.
You know? So I have some historic unretirements,
okay,
to kind of weigh the conversation up. So Messi, I mentioned, came out of retirement ahead of the 2018 World Cup, saved Argentina in qualification. I think it was against Ecuador. He scored a hat-trick in their last game, made sure they got to the World Cup. And then eventually that was the ultimate payoff of winning the 2022 World Cup. John Heslin, this season for Westmeath, his county needed him.
Yeah.
And he came back, won their first Leinster title in 22 years. Dublin in 2023. The boys came back. The famous wedding.
Famous wedding, yeah.
Famous wedding. Jack McCaffrey, Stephen Cluxton, Paul Mannion all came back and they won one last Celtic Cross together. A few bad examples of unretirement. So it's not always rosy.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, familiar with this.
Yeah.
Retired after winning his last Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Had the itch to come back. Came back. Didn't work out. Had his worst season ever. They ended up with a losing record. And it's always been rumoured that it affected his marriage. And his wife and himself are now divorced. So didn't work out for the man.
Serena, don't go back, Tony.
Don't go back.
She was doing extra yoga.
Serena Williams, yeah, very
Serena Williams.
Yeah.
Copped a lot of criticism after coming back this year in Wimbledon after 4 years away for taking a wildcard spot and then getting injured in the match and not being able to play the doubles with Venus. Disappointing. Other examples, Michael Murphy for Donegal. Kind of in the air, yeah, whether that was a good one or not.
How long was he gone for? 2 years?
Oh, 100%. He came back, won an Ulster title.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Fair enough.
I would generally be of the opinion in life, don't ever go back.
I'm just thinking.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I think that was an exception. I think he's been brilliant.
Yeah. He won Ulster as well.
Since
he was nominated for the player of the year. I was kind of thinking the All-Ireland final league.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
He was disappointing now this year as the
That's
year
the
progressed.
Thing and,
but
yeah.
Look, so we're Donegal as a whole. So yeah.
Michael Jordan did it with the Wizards. Now, in my mind, this was always a negative one because he came back and it was like the most weird thing ever. He looked
like
weird.
Basketball, baseball, basketball? Or when he retired?
No, well, he had two retirements, actually. Yeah. He went to baseball for a while. But the second one, when he retired altogether from the Bulls and then he came back 3 years later with the Washington Wizards and it just didn't look right.
No.
Yeah.
But I actually just found out doing my research for this that he did it to donate his salary to the relief fund for the 9/11 attacks.
No way.
So there you go.
Really? That's
very justified, yeah.
What kind of them was that?
Yeah. Any other shouts for it?
Paul Scholes. Very straight, retired, and then Fergie rings him, and then the story goes he buys a pair of knockoff Preds in the shop that are like, any of us here could buy right now, like 60 quid. Plays in the Manchester Derby.
That's right.
Comes back with a different shirt number as well. He was like number 22 when he came back, and he was 18. I think that generally went well because he finished in our Premier League winning title. He retired the same day as Fergie retired. Yeah.
2013,
exactly. Ric Flair in wrestling. He should have stayed retired.
I'm not sure, does that count in wrestling? Because they come back all the time.
What's WWE's official title? It's sports entertainment.
Mm. Yeah.
Half sport.
Mm.
So the half sport, that's 50%. That's a pass. Shawn Michaels goes to finish him off, says, "I love you, Ric." And does his sweet chin music, pins him 1, 2, 3, massive ovation. Thank you so much, Ric Flair. And he keeps coming back again and again and again. Ruined it. Hulk Hogan kept coming back again and again.
I think coming out of retirement in WWE is like the same as sport though, because you're just like getting back in shape and competing again. It's the same. Yeah. It's the exact same.
McGregor?
Yeah.
Don't mention the more, okay?
Yeah, Matthew mentioned Tyson Fury. Has done this like 10 times.
Boxing is
every time he fights, he retires.
Muhammad Ali did it several times.
So is it good? Has retirement in sport.
Lost its meaning a bit.
It's a good question.
The door's always open now.
I really like the guys and girls who stay away, like and do stay like holiday. So like Eric Cantona, famously, he's only 31. Mm. And did you ever see that letter that Alex Ferguson wrote? Brilliant. Yeah, it's amazing.
Trying to convince him.
Yeah, it was like, me and your dad think that you went away 30, but I'm glad that we can be friends now. Because Lee Sharp talked to Lee Sharp about this one time. Like, Lee Sharp really has absolutely no time for Ferguson. Like, really, I think he has like PTSD the way he was treated by Ferguson. Because he used to be the golden boy, and then Giggs came along and he wasn't any longer, and he was seen as trouble. And he says the way he treated Cantona was just completely different. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The kung fu kick, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, brilliant story.
And it goes around and was like, David May, like, you shouldn't even be at this club. You can't defend Lee Sharp. You can't run it all. Eric, you can't be doing that, son. Steve Bruce, what were you doing? Yeah. And he gets away with it. Zidane, I mean, it's pretty cool the way he ends it. Obviously, they lost the World Cup final, but his last act in football is the headbutt.
Yeah.
Kind of adds to the mysticism. Mm. He never came back.
No.
I do respect Lee Evans, the comedian, never came back. He retired and he walked. I think Jonathan Ross show was his last appearance. He was like, oh, this is it, I'm done. And everyone was like, yeah, you'll be back. And he never came back. I do like that.
Yeah.
So long as that person wants it. The David Batty, apparently, you can't get hold of David Batty, the former England midfielder.
Ah, lads, James McCarthy off the face of the earth. I don't even know if he's retired yet, but no, we don't know where he is.
Soccer's James McCarthy, obviously, yeah.
Still under contract at Celtic, probably. Victor Valdez as well. They were doing like a Spain promotion video.
He said he won't be able to get in touch with me.
Can't get, exactly. And they didn't have Valdez for the promotion video.
In 2015, they had the reunion for Istanbul for Liverpool. Mm. Couldn't get hold of Steve Finnan.
Right. Mm.
Didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Diego Forlan came out of retirement to play tennis.
I like that. Now, I do like that, actually, as a retirement adjacent, I'll do another sport.
Yeah, do
something. Don't mind
else,
that so much. I just like, look, if someone wants to come back, their business and whatever. I just prefer, I love the idea, it's kind of the romantic notion.
There's something
of, like,
to be said about it,
off
yeah.
into the sunset, you'll never see me again.
Yeah. Bale, could do, you can see that in golf, he could Bale. Do the Euro
tour. He was like semi-retired when he was playing. Yeah. Like, this guy is doing whatever he wants. Yeah, it's a good shout, though. I like it.
Yeah.
Just before we finish up, Paul Halpin is in the comments saying that the Clonsilla Inn ticks most of the boxes on my pub.
Order.
I'm just actually looking at the photos. It inside looks grand. My one complaint straight off the bat is that it has a separator wall separating two parts of the bar.
You're far too picky with Paul.
but it does have a big bar area outside with a roof covering with TVs. Also has two pool tables outside, has a pool table inside, and it also has a massive outdoor beer garden as well, which also has screens. So.
Is it someone will someone
might be
this?
Too big? Is
I like that. Someone in the comments can tell me from Galway, or if you know Galway well, it's at O'Connell's. They have an enormous smoking area and a pizza place at the back.
And Pucan in Galway also would be similar to that.
I watched in 2022, the same day La Rochelle beat Leinster.
Mm.
I think it was the Dublin game. No, maybe it wasn't. And the same day Real Madrid beat Liverpool in the Champions League final. And the atmosphere in that place was electric. Great, great spot. We should go to that pub. Get on to them, Enda.
Maybe we'll get some budget to do a 5 or 6 part documentary of me trying to find the best sports pub. I'll see if I can.
Owen Jean did.
I'll see if I can convince Mick to do that.
Across the pubs in Dublin.
PL wants to know, Donny, does the game in the warm up knock the nerves out of lads with the tackling?
It's hard to replicate a game in a warm up and then the game itself when the game starts. So I think it just gets you sharp more than anything else. I'm not sure about the nerves part. I think you're always going to have the nerves until you get the first ball in the game. But I think it just sharpens the pencil a small bit more than anything else.
That's it. All good? All done?
All done.
I have one as well for next week, actually, for the breakfast buffet.
Do you want to hold your fire?
Yeah,
we're going to tease it. Yeah, we're
just like, yeah. I'll just give you the headline. It's goal nets.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's a good one.
I love a good one, but they're all the same now.
Yeah,
God, like the magic.
The pub one is magic. We'd be here for 3 hours talking about that. For playing that.
So it's all that anyone's thinking about now.
Like, yeah, I know. I
everyone is thinking the pub.
We are in town. I know. The car overnight in the car park.
Yeah. Yeah, we're done for the day, you know? Yeah, yeah. This is us. All right.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball, GAA.
Look, I said it there a while ago, this place, what to do for people across the country, really, you know, and you talk about the kids, but the support to give families as well and parents.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Hey there, it's Will O'Callaghan here from Off The Ball, and before you dive into this podcast, here's one you're going to want to stick in your diary. This coming Friday, Apple Green's annual 24/7 event is back, and for just one day only, they've got loads of brilliant offers across their stores. You can pick up a chicken fillet roll or a breakfast roll for just €2.47, have a car wash for €2.47, or grab a packet of Tato crisps for just 24 cents. There are some great food offers too. You've got Whoppers, selected 6-inch Subway sandwiches, Taco Bell beefy melt burritos, and Chopstick small bite boxes, all available for, you guessed it, €2.47. It's only happening this Friday, so don't miss out. Head along to your local Apple Green store and make the most of these fantastic one-day-only offers. Terms and conditions do apply. And now, enjoy your podcast.